This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. This week I visited a rather inconspicuous brown brick church with, aside from one stuccoed wall, a rather dull-looking exterior and without any connections to Christopher Wren. Now, for those who've listened to my podcast about Postman's Park, this is the church that sits in that city garden and which was once the church's graveyard. Brian Evans from the Friends of the City Churches talked to me about what was hiding behind this rather plain exterior.
This is St. Botolph Aldersgate, which is sited near or outside what was the old gate of the Roman city wall. And so the full title is St. Botolph Without Aldersgate. And it's 150 yards from St. Paul's, north of there.
Mm. Is there a reason why it's called St. Botolph?
Yes, St. Botolph was a patron, the Anglo-Saxon, or Saxon, strictly speaking, saint of travellers. And therefore, there were originally four churches in the city adjacent to gates because people would worship when they left to be certain that they got back safely and equally to give thanks when they returned safely.
Yeah.
So that's the reason for Botolph.
And this, many of the churches in the City of London are Christopher Wren churches. Tell me whether or not this is, and if not, who is responsible for it?
Essentially, this is the work of Nathaniel Wright, and this is a Georgian church because the Great Fire did not reach this point. It was saved by the city wall, but the church needed restoration sometime in the late 18th century. And had to be rebuilt, and it's remained largely in the form that it was established then.
Can you describe it to me, and what's why it's interesting architecturally, if it is?
Well, it's a galleried church. It's a long, narrow galleried church, quite different from the sort of square stuccoed design of a Christopher Wren.
Are there any particular features of this church that you think are interesting, special, unusual?
Well, there is a lot of stained glass here, which is, some of it is of interest, showing historical scenes like John Wesley, for example.
Yeah.
He preached in the open air here. It was supposedly as he left St. Paul's Cathedral one evening, and he was walking up Aldersgate, he had this vision of the church as he saw it. So one of the windows shows that. It also shows the historical scene connect with the St. Martin le Grand, which was a monastery very close to here and which had some control over this church historically. But it's long gone. That went before the Reformation. Also, it has in the apse the most beautiful painted glass window above the altar, which is illuminated by a plain glass window on the in the street outside.
Right.
So it's not stained glass, it's painted glass.
Lovely, yeah.
And that is the most striking object.
The window Brian is talking about is by the 18th century artist James Pearson, whose other works can be seen in Oxford and in Salisbury Cathedral. It depicts the agony in the garden.
Today, how is this church used?
It's a guild church. It's been decided that they will address themselves to the working population.
And who preaches here there?
There is a minister here, and the services take the form of Bible talks on Tuesdays.
Right.
But the church is also used, like a lot of other city churches, particularly when they're guild churches. They're used by another denomination. In this case, it is the Scots Presbyterian Church,
right,
which is part of the Free Church of Scotland. And the interesting thing about that or one particularly thing which interests me, is that they still practice the singing of psalms in a metrical fashion. And without going into a lot of detail, yeah, this was something which started after the Reformation, where the early Protestant reformers decided that the right things to sing for the congregation would be the psalms, not any humanly written things, but things which have been divinely written, yeah, in the Bible.
And they do that every Sunday here?
Yes, yes.
I should come along then on the Sunday to, yes, hear it. So they take over, and do you know if they have a big turnout?
I don't honestly know, because, yeah, I haven't been.
You haven't been here. I can confirm that they do have a huge turnout. The church was packed on the day I went, which really surprised me. Confirming what Brian Evans had told me, the whole congregation, indeed, do sing together without accompaniment. I talked to Laura Bull and Ian MacDonald from the London City Presbyterian Church, or the LCPC, about their music, but also about their use of St. Botolf Aldersgate.
Can you tell me about the music? There were two psalms, and you did that without any musical accompaniment.
So historically, the Free Church of Scotland denomination took the approach that was the appropriate way to sing worship in a church service, was unaccompanied scripture, most often to the psalms. So that's why we sing them unaccompanied. But all congregations still do, as part of the service, as we do, include psalms.
Unaccompanied. And with that in mind, how does everybody know what to sing? There's somebody at the front, I noticed, yeah, leading it. How does it all work?
It's trickier in a congregation like this when there's people from different backgrounds. So I'm one of the people who leads the singing. And I grew up singing them, so I know a lot of the tunes. So traditionally with a hymn book, you'll have this hymn, and this is the tune you sing it to. With psalms, you've got a set of psalms, and then a set of tunes. And you can sing any psalm to any tune that's in the same meter. So that's why we announce the tune. So the presenter chooses an appropriate tune, and then the congregation joins in.
Goes with it.
Yeah. I grew up in the Highlands of Scotland, and most of the presenters of my childhood and youth didn't read music, just as I don't read music. So they knew the songs, they'd learned them by ear.
But this is the London City Presbyterian Church. How long have you all been based here?
So we've been in this church building since 2003. And prior to that, we were in another city church called St. Nicholas Cole Abbey.
How long have you been coming here for, personally?
So I've been coming since 1989. I came down here for work.
And what was it called then?
It was called then Cole Abbey Presbyterian Church, because that was the name of the building. And now we're London City Presbyterian Church. But we are part of the Free Church of Scotland, with Presbyterian denomination. We gave it a name that meant more to people from around the world coming to London who are looking for a Presbyterian church. So it's important to put the word Presbyterian into the name.
So it's originally a Scottish church, but actually you embrace the people from all over the world.
Yes. Yeah, so
the main point is that it's a Presbyterian church.
Yeah.
Presbyterian very much refers to the form of church government. So as a church, we have a group of elders which leads the church, and above that is a group called the Presbytery. And that's where all the different individual churches send someone monthly to meet and discuss church matters. So that, yeah, it's just a form of church government, really.
What's it like to worship in this particular building, St. Botolf Aldersgate?
It's a very un-Presbyterian building. Presbyterian buildings are generally quite plain.
Tell me what it's like in there.
So it's very fancy. I mean, it's got sort of gold and stained glass. It's a very lovely church on the inside. It really, really is. I mean, that has its own challenges. Sometimes if the boys are kicking around a ball outside, you think, oh, don't kick it through the window. But I think the inside isn't a barrier to the worship or the church in any way. It just happens to be fancier than most of us are used to.
It takes some of our Presbyterian newcomers by surprise when they come in. They say, oh, is this a Presbyterian church? They say, yes, it is. We're renting this from the Church of England.
When somebody comes into this church, what will they experience?
Hopefully they'll get a very warm welcome at the door. They can go in, sit anywhere they like. There's singing, there's praying, there's the sermon, which is the largest part of the service.
Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face.
Afterwards, there's tea and coffee. Once a month, there's fellowship lunch after church. And it's basically just do what everybody around you is doing. If you're not sure what to do, stand when everybody else stands and sit when everybody else sits.
One of the distinctive things about our congregation is how international it is, and that's that's a blessing and a challenge. So to compare to me growing up in the Highlands, you had very much a uniformity of background, of cultural experience, of English language knowledge, and here you've got people, so although many of them are from Presbyterian churches from all around the world, the way they do things in their Presbyterian church might be quite different from ours here.
Yeah.
It's invigorating. And being a city centre congregation like ours, which has got a high turnover, you have to try to integrate people very quickly. So that it is necessary for it to be warm and welcoming and hospitable and to build in as much opportunity for friendship with each other, because London can be a very lonely place. You've got to create community constantly.
But nevertheless, despite people coming and going and passing through, you've been here for a long time.
Yes.
So are there other people like you who have been worshipping here for a while?
Yeah.
So there's a core group of sort of people whose responsibility it is really to get people in and feel welcome. And then
I'm from abroad, so I'm here by myself. LCPC is my family, and I kind of feel like because LCPC is made up of so many people who are in London while their families are abroad, you kind of have to become each other's family. And everybody sort of does their best to make people feel that welcome. We have more single people here than we do families, but it is a one big family. And even the families are like, here, you look after my child. It's sort of that type of thing.
This congregation meeting in St. Botolph's at Aldersgate, and St. Botolph was a Saxon saint from the 6th century, and he was the patron saint of travellers. People who come here finishing their journey or they're starting their journey, and here we are, a congregation full of travellers.
Yet again, the City of London churches never cease to surprise and delight, not just in terms of their architectural differences, but also in terms of the people who use the church buildings for their own very varied forms of worship. The church I visit next week will no doubt deliver some more surprises and variants of what I've seen already.